I'm now joined by Mamadou Abou Sarr, co-founder and president of V-Square Quantitative Management, who's behind the V-Shares U.S. Leadership Diversity ETF, ticker VDNI. This just launched in December. And I'll tell you, Mamadou has a highly accomplished asset management background. Was previously global head of product development and sustainable investing at Northern Trust Asset Management. He's worked for HSBC, Morgan Stanley, Amundi, Citi. He's had roles in London, Paris, Abu Dhabi, Dakar. He's been around the world. He's a guest lecturer at the University of Chicago, Harvard, Wharton, and he's now on the line with me from Chicago. Mamadou, it's a pleasure. Thanks for joining me this week.
Nate, the pleasure is mine. Thanks for having me.
Well, before we get to the ETF, I have to ask you, in reading through your very extensive bio, which I was blown away, you made me feel a little bit lazy when I saw all of your professional and philanthropic activities, but I saw that you're a French foreign trade advisor, which is appointed by decree of the Prime Minister of France. What does that entail?
Well, it entails that I'm French, so I will give that away. And then I'm an official representative of France in the U.S., and I have kind of three main activities or roles, as per se. One is advising public authorities on the attractiveness of France as a place for business, but also the other way around, bringing French companies in the U.S. That's number one. Number two is supporting businesses as they are entering the U.S. markets. Here in Chicago, if there's a company who is interested in the Midwest, they will meet with me and other advisors. We'll help them with introduce them to lawyers, explain the environmental framework, all the legal part of it, and help them get in business. And the other part of the role is also training young people for the international trade, so to speak, making sure that French talents are prepared for international career, right? So that's pretty much what the role entails, and it's a great role, and we are meeting on a regular basis.
Okay, so tell us a little bit about V-Square Quantitative Management and a little bit about why you decided to enter the ETF space.
Yeah, sure. And so even though we launched a company in 2020, it was long in the making. And the common denominator amongst the leadership team is that we actually all worked together at some point. Three of us are alumni of Northern Trust Asset Management. Two of us are alumni of HSBC. And our background are in active quant, factor-based, ETF, and sustainable investing. Matter of fact, the co-founder of V-Square and I, Abhi Mudashir, worked together in the mid-2000s at HSBC Quantitative Asset Management. Abhi was based in New York. He was the deputy head of quant for Americas, and I was a product strategist taking care of his product out of London. And that's when, Nate, we formulated the view that one day we'll come together to build a unique investment firm. Now, life is what it is. You make goals and dreams, and then at the end of the day, it may take longer than expected. So it took us a few years for us to be actually ready to launch our investment firm. But then feeling ready for us meant, being trained and apprenticed at large firms, running P&L, portfolios, manage team, build a market reputation, and last but not least, at least find what our holy grail, so to speak, meaning when passion meets expertise, was all about. And for us, it was using our quantitative skill set and be focusing on sustainability as a theme in V-Square as a company. So that's a bit of the story behind V-Square and why I decided to branch out from a large firm and an amazing role to doing what we do today, having a more focused boutique with our quantitative approach and focusing on sustainable investing.
Okay, so let's get into the ETF. Again, the V-Shares U.S. Leadership Diversity ETF, ticker symbol VDNI. This is index-based. Walk us through the construction and the basic investment thesis here.
Sure, and I will start with the basic investment thesis because I'm often being asked, okay, there's a lot of headline around diversity, but what it means. First of all, I like to use a different term at the end of the day. I call it diversified human capital. I think we can all agree, Nate, that ultimately human capital is the primary source of capital for any companies. You could obviously add, what technology add, but it has to be led by a human being somehow. Okay. And so here's the couple of news I would like to break for our audience and as we're having that conversation. First of all, intelligence is actually normally distributed. okay, which is fascinating, right, when you think about it. We always think about, well, people with higher IQ and so on. But the reality is that 99% of the people fall under a large distribution of IQ between anywhere between 85 and 115 on a scale up to 130. Okay, that's the first statement. Now, the reality is that gender, ethnicity will actually have the same distribution when it comes to intelligence and abilities. And so if I'm running a company, a listed company, why would I actually limit myself in only selecting a subset of talents in leading and promoting and driving business? And as well as you diversify your output as a company, you're always trying to find innovative new products, you should diversify your input when it comes to talent, diversity of thought and abilities at the table. So that's kind of one of the first part. Now, there is a lot of actually other elements that drive that value add. One of them is the bottom line. Actually, both academic, scholastic, and empirical evidences are showing that diversity at a top of company is a foreteller for corporate culture that ultimately drives better performance for companies. And I'll be happy to double-click on that and give you a sense of what I mean from a performance standpoint. And then, Nate, you have other elements that come along and make it a compelling business case. Last year, we've seen the NASDAQ rules on diversity being approved by the SEC, mandating companies that are listed to provide a disclosure on diversity across the board. So that's also actually a regulatory ask, and then coming from policymakers. Then you also have the client demand. Clients are asking to see more diverse team companies that are caring about these type of issues because they believe it's actually part of a good investment decision and decent society belief and of how we should run a company. And I'm leaving aside the ethical and value imperative because they tend to be specific to individuals and may differ from region and places to places. But as far as the rest, bottom line impact, reputational risk, client demand, regulatory framework, all of the above represent a compelling business case, Nate.
So how does that manifest itself in the ETF then? If you look at what VDNI holds, boil that down for us with that as a backdrop.
Sure. And so the starting point is actually a broad U.S. exposure with a proxy of being the Russell 3000, if I were to give you a proxy, meaning all cap U.S. Then the process is the following, Nate. We start by actually identifying companies that display at least 35% of diversity at the board of companies and for NEOs, non-executive officers. Now, let me take a step back by saying that we partner with ISS ESG, which is the ESG arm of IXS, the proxy agent, to tap into their director and executive diversity data sets. And to give you a sense of the data set, Nate, they have around information of around 230,000 directors, so a very broad database. They have the tenure, they have the gender, ethnicity, and other factors that relate to these individuals. And so first step, 35% combined of women and ethnically diverse directors. And then there is two additional rules that are very specific to each of the category. You need to have at least three distinct ethnically diverse individual that are directors or NEOs, and you have the same rule for women. Okay. Now, why 35%? It's a question I'm often being asked, Nate. And the answer is the following. It comes down from actually management 101. If you have more than one individual from one category, you actually bring and expand the diversity of thought and the ability to provide your opinion and perspective at the board table. And so the 35% rule is something that has been highly documented in academia. And so we use the same threshold of 35%. Okay. And a result, you have an index comprised of around 470 securities, give or take, depending on the rebalancing, and that's what brings the ISS U.S. Diversity Index as an index. Okay?
Mamadou, you did a good job of explaining the importance of diversified human capital earlier. I think that makes sense intuitively to a lot of people, but can you just talk a little bit more about why diversity of leadership is important, and not from, I guess, what I would call the obvious standpoint? I would hope listeners of this podcast certainly appreciate the importance of diversity in our society. I'm talking more from a bottom line perspective. Like when I think about you, you're a quantitative shop, right? So what does the tangible data say on why diversity is good for companies?
So that's the angle we took. We took the angle of thinking about what drives, you know, value for companies. The best example, if you look at, you know, information technology and you see the amount of talent that is coming from around the world, you realize that tech companies are leveraging and tapping into diverse talents. This is actually, you know, very visible and something that has been done for years and years. And when we look at the performance of the underlying index, and obviously the index is not investable as per se, and we launched the ETF in December, but let me give you a proxy, Nate. The index, the U.S. Diversity Index, outperformed the Russell 3000 by 8.5% in 2021. Okay? Now, you may ask me, what is that, Mamadou? Kind of walk me through the attribution. What is the driver? Well, out of the 8.5%, 7.5 came from stock selection, and 1% came from sector misweight. Okay? Meaning that the index does what it is supposed to do, meaning selecting companies that tend to be diverse, that tend to be diverse from a leadership standpoint, and then the end result is actually a better performance. Now, there's back this return that I will not share in that podcast as per se. You can find in the longer history of the index on Bloomberg, but then it actually outperformed across the board for the past 5 years by around 200 basis points per annum based on the data. And then you have longer data that are actually out there in academia. You have Cornell University, who actually use the ISS other days to look at into the advocacy of the signals over a longer time period, and they all are consistent with the following: diversity at the top of company is a foretell for corporate culture, which drives better performance for companies. That's the business case from a pure quantitative standpoint.
Mamadou, we only have about 2 minutes left. As I was looking at this ETF, I'm curious, what does it tell you that out of the entire universe of eligible U.S. companies, which you said, again, the Russell 3000, that's a good proxy here, only about 480 make the cut for your ETF. What does that tell you about the current state of diversity among publicly traded companies?
Well, it tells me two things. First of all, we have a very rigorous process to actually select underlying securities. So that's why you actually have that limited number. But second is that we have a long way to go for companies to actually be diverse at the top, right? And so I look at it in a very, I'm always optimistic. At the end of the day, I believe that once you disclose that information out there, then it's actually accessible and can be a catalyst for change. So that's the way I look at it. And last but not least, Nate, the question I'm being asked often is that where does it fit in a portfolio? Because at the end of the day, that's what matters for advisors and investors, right? First of all, it is a all-cap U.S. exposure. So it could be a complementary play or an addition to what you currently have as an exposure, knowing that the overlap in terms of names is limited because you only have a subset of names vis-a-vis the Russell 3000. That's number one. Number two, you are actually investing in an obituary index with a correlation of one with the Russell 3000 or the S&P 5, meaning that you're not taking kind of very directional risks. You also have that ability to invest and diversify your main capital. And last but not least is actually the performance compelling business case that we all discussed today, Nate, that shows that corporate culture and performance are actually related, and there is value in looking at that through the lens of diversified human capital.
Well, Mamadou, we're going to have to leave it there. I really enjoyed the conversation. Congratulations on the launch of ED, and I certainly wish you all the success. Thank you for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me today.
That was Mamadou Aboussar, co-founder and president of V-Square Quantitative Management.